Can faith and reason work together, or are they somehow mutually exclusive? What role do facts and evidence play when it comes to the Christian faith? This is Reasonable Faith, Conversations with Dr. William Lane Craig. I'm Kevin Harris, and on behalf of Dr. Craig, I want to welcome you to this discussion as Dr. Craig examines apologetics, reason, faith, and philosophy. Today, Dr. Craig addresses the problem of evil.
Dr. Craig, when we consider the problem of evil, and there are such good answers to that that bring comfort to people and also help people with their doubts about God and His existence when it comes to the problem of evil, but there's a common objection, and it's known as Euthyphro's argument. Now, I want everyone to hang with us today because you're going to find this fascinating. You're probably going to run into this argument, and we're going to learn how to answer it today. Now, give us just a little bit of definition of what this is.
All right. This argument or objection was posed originally in Plato's Dialogue by the name Euthyphro, and it basically goes like this. Is something good because the gods will it, or do the gods will it because it is good? If you say that something is good because the gods will it, then that means that what is good or evil is just arbitrary. The gods could have willed that torture be good and that we should hate and seek to do each other harm and that love would be evil and kindness would be wicked. So it seems crazy to think that the good is simply what the gods will. On the other hand, if we say that the gods will what is good, then what is good or evil is independent of what the gods say, and the gods themselves are subject to the good and therefore bound by certain moral duties and therefore have no control over this. Now, this gets translated into Christian theism by asking a similar sort of question. What is the relationship between the God of the Bible and good? Is the good whatever God wills? Well, then it's arbitrary. Does God will what is good? Well, then the good is independent of God, and he's subject to it himself.
There's something higher than him.
Right. And so either horn of the dilemma seems unacceptable, and therefore one cannot base the good upon God. And indeed, in one sense, you could say God doesn't even exist because he wouldn't be sovereign over this higher power.
So when we come to the horns of the dilemma, we have two horns here.
That's right.
If one doesn't stick you, the other will.
Right.
Right?
Right. If you say that the good is whatever God wills, you're stuck with arbitrariness. If you say, well, no, it's not arbitrary, God wills whatever is good, then the good is independent of God. So take your pick, pick your poison. Either one is unacceptable for Christian theism.
And I want to explore this arbitrariness here for just a moment, because if God just determines what is good, then he could presumably or allegedly just say that rape is good.
But, that's right.
But that's crazy.
Yes, the idea would be you would be morally obligated to do such things, to harm others, to hate others, and so forth. And that would make you a virtuous person. And that seems mad to think that such a possible world exists.
Now, the only way out of this is to split the horns of this dilemma. And that would be, let's see if there's a third option.
That's what one would have to do when confronted with a dilemma. If either horn of the dilemma is unsuccessful, then you have to say that there's a third way out, and that would be, I think, the route that most Christian philosophers would take with regard to the Euthyphro dilemma.
Gotcha. Now, did Plato himself come up with a third option?
Well, in a sense he did, in that Plato regarded the good as a sort of supreme being, but he didn't identify the good with God in the Christian sense. So I think that it took Christian thinkers to apply Plato's thought to the God of the Bible in which they believed.
In the second horn of the dilemma, we could bypass God and just try to figure out what the good is. Since God would be subjected, he would be subject to the good as well.
Exactly. And that would be more Platonic, that if there is a God, then he would be subjected to the good itself, which would be really the supreme reality.
Well, everyone's waiting with bated breath right now. What is the third option? How do we get out of this?
I think the third option is to say that moral values are grounded in the nature and character of God Himself, and that God's nature is the good. That which Plato called the good is the moral nature and character of God Himself. And therefore, God could not have willed otherwise than He has willed. His divine commandments flow necessarily from His own moral nature. And therefore, they are not arbitrary, but they are necessary expressions of His own essence. And therefore, though moral values depend on and are rooted in God, they are not arbitrary because they are necessary expressions of the character of God Himself. And I think that that splits the horns of the dilemma.
So there's nothing more ultimate than God when it comes to good and so
there's
forth.
There's nothing more ultimate than God because it is God's own moral nature, which is the good and which determines the difference between good and evil. It's His own nature that is the yardstick between good and evil. And His divine commands will constitute for us our moral duties. When God issues divine commandments like you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you shall love the Lord your God with all your strength and might and soul and so forth, these become our moral duties. Our moral duties are constituted by the commands that God gives. But, and here we go over to the other horn of the dilemma, these commandments are not arbitrary because they're necessary expressions of the moral character of God Himself.
I'm just trying to think out loud here, Bill. Would we say that there's nothing more ultimate than God, nothing that God would be subject to beyond Him, because there's not anything to which He would be subject? But perhaps we can say in a sense that He's subject to His own nature, to His own self-consistency?
Well, I suppose you could say that if it helps you, but I think that's really misleading language because
really?
I think you can only be subject to something that's other than yourself. You
really?
Can't be subject to yourself.
I mean, okay.
That, because you're lord of yourself as well. So, I mean, you're both lord and subject at the same time, which is a contradiction. So I think we just want to say that God isn't subject to anything. He is the ultimate, and He determines by His own nature exactly what is good and evil. Let me give an analogy. When we talk about music being high-fidelity sound, we say some speakers have high-fidelity sound. What we mean is it approximates to the sound of a live orchestra. But does a live orchestra have high-fidelity sound? Well, no, because it just is the standard. And therefore, it doesn't approximate to itself. It is the standard for high-fidelity. Mm. In exactly the same way, God's moral nature isn't subject to anything. He's not subject to Himself. He just is the standard for rightness and wrongness, good and evil, and everything else is determined by its approximation to Him.
That makes a lot more sense. That really does. And you mentioned something also that God expresses His moral nature or the good to us through various commands and so forth on the Christian view.
Exactly. And these commandments reflect His own nature, and that's why we're commanded, for example, to love one another. And Jesus said even to love our enemies, not to speak of our neighbors. So these commandments show the type of God that we worship, and we can adore God for His moral perfection and His goodness.
Well, this has been an argument, a dilemma presented to Christians for a long time, and it's kind of resurrected on the internet and probably on the college campus as well.
You hear it all the time, this dilemma, and yet I've never seen a really good response to the theory of ethics that I've just laid out. It's usually called divine command morality. That is to say that our moral values and duties are determined by God's commands, but that these commands are not arbitrary because they are expressions of the very nature of God Himself, which is immutable, necessary, non-contingent, and is the good. And I think that this fully solves the Euthyphro dilemma, and I've never really seen a good atheistic refutation of this theory of ethics.
Divine command theory. What are
right.
some do's and don'ts of that?
Well, I've already mentioned some, such as loving your neighbor as yourself, but also the golden rule, for example, doing unto others as you would have them do to you, and then certain prohibitions as well, like do not steal, don't bear false witness against your neighbor, do not murder, and then also positive commandments too. We have a moral obligation to love God, to adore Him as the source of our existence and as the supreme good. On this view, God is the supreme good, and therefore our lives and our wills should be oriented toward God as the supreme good. And therefore, I think we have a moral obligation to love God and to adore Him. And that's why, by the way, unbelief is sin. Unbelief is the most serious sin of all, because it means that the will of the creature is not oriented toward the supreme good, but it is oriented toward lesser goods rather than toward God Himself.
For more resources on this and many other topics from Dr. William Lane Craig, visit online to reasonablefaith.org. That's reasonablefaith.org.